Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all this morning. And man, there's such great stuff happening here. And I just want to say I am so thrilled for what the future of this church holds. And just looking forward to a super fun fall. But if you're new here this morning or you're just catching up, we've been spending the summer in the Psalms, which, in my opinion, is a great way to spend your summer. Because the Psalms offer us so much about who God is, about who we are, and about how we can handle life, the good, the bad, and the otherwise. And it doesn't shy away from all the feelings and the emotions that come with all of those things. It is a very raw book if you look at it in its entirety. But I wanted to ask you something this morning. Have you ever been in a situation where your wife or a friend or a spouse says, "Hey, we got invited to this thing, do you want to go?" Is your response, "I'm not sure who's going to be there"? Or is that just me? Think about if you've been invited to a party or a wedding reception. When you get to the room where the party is, do you ever try to like sneak through the door without being noticed so you can scope out who's here and see who you can hang out with or try and dodge? Or have you ever gotten to the table where you're seated a little bit early and looked to see who you're seated with just to know what you're walking into and if you're going to fit in? Or have you ever been in a social gathering and you've had no one to sit with and no one sat with you? One trait that is unique to every person in the room and online this morning is that we are all looking for a place to fit in and belong. We want to feel valued and included and feel like we're part of something that matters. We want to feel like we matter. But there are times in life when this doesn't happen. And there are times when we just simply don't feel like we belong. We feel like we're a round peg in being forced into a square hole. And if that's you today, like it's been me, there's good news. And the psalm we're looking at this morning, Psalm 92, can help us to know what to do when we're not quite sure where we fit. And this is what it says. Starting with verse 1, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-string instrument, also known as a dulcimer, a harp, and the melody of a lyre." Verse 4 says, "You thrill me, Lord, with all that you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever." And skipping down to verse 12, it says, "But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, 'The Lord is just. He is my rock, and there is no evil in him.'" Feeling like you don't fit in can be an incredibly difficult to process through and cope with. Maybe you've moved to a new city, or you've started a new job, or maybe you're trying out church for the first time in a long time. In a few weeks, students will be arriving from all over the province, the country, and the world to Cambrian, Laurentian, and Collège Boréal, and some of them will be for the very first time. And these questions will be a significant part of their first few days and weeks in town. Will I fit in? Is there a place for me, and do I belong? As humans, in our desire to belong, to fit in, we have a natural tendency to gather in like-minded groups. We naturally sort ourselves with people that are what we perceive as like us. It's a very normal tendency, and it's the way that we are wired and created. And the principle is that we are fundamentally created to be in community. We are at our core deeply relational beings. And you see that work out in the start in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, where God creates a man. And then God realizes it's really not good for men to be left alone. And what he says is it's not good for him to be alone. And then he creates a woman. And then in Jesus' time, as he's being questioned about the law, he makes a very powerful declaration to the Jewish leaders of the time. And when he's asked about what the greatest commandment is, and he gives two. He says, the first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. These are two very relational commandments. They're all about relationships. You have to be in relationship with God to love him, and you have to be in relationship with your neighbor to love him or her. Even the God we worship, at his very core, is a relational and deeply connected God. And as people who are created in his likeness and who are bearers of his image, we are wired for that relationship, that connectivity and community. It's good to be together. It is not good for a man or a woman to be alone. But then we add the cancerous results of sin and brokenness, and our relationships get a little twisted. And our desire for belonging becomes overextended, and it ends up in exclusivity. And that causes hurt and it causes pain, and sometimes we don't even intend to. I remember when I was a lot younger, I'm quite tall. I know the stage doesn't show that well. There was a few weeks ago, I met a lady in the foyer, she said, you're quite tall, and I said, yes, that's true. But the thing about being a tall person is when you're a young tall person, you're really like lanky and awkward because there's just a lot of body to deal with. And as much as I love sports, when we lined up in the schoolyard for like play basketball or baseball or any of them, I was generally among the last to be picked because I was tall and lanky and not super coordinated. I've mostly got a handle on that, and I only trip on the stairs every once in a while, but I still remember that feeling that cuts deep. And this is kind of where I want to camp out today. This is where I think the Lord is leading us, because I'm slowly realizing that there's not much I can do about the things that are going on outside of me. There's not much I can do about being picked last. Sure, I can try and get better at sports, but there's some things I'm just not built for. And there will always be times in life where I'm not just sure I fit. And there's some things, sometimes there's not much I can do about if that group, that cool group, that in-group doesn't include me, or that church is really clicky, or that event isn't great at making people feel welcoming. And I want to say this, that it doesn't make it right or justify it, because our church should absolutely become, and we are working on becoming, the kind of church where everyone can belong. But sometimes we just don't get it right. The good news is that Psalm 92 gives us something deeper than other people's welcome and acceptance. It gives us an unshakable identity to lean on when we don't feel like we fit. And so there's three no's that you can know when you feel like you don't fit. The first is this: you can know whose you are. Right off the top, the writer here makes a statement. In verse 1, he says, or she says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. In verse 2, it is good to proclaim his unfailing love in the morning. And so the wise question that we should ask ourselves is, why does he or she start with these statements? And it's because there's an order of operations. In order to know whose you are, you need to know the who and not the band. The who we are talking about, of course, is God. And the psalmist writes in verse 5, O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. And a beautiful aspect of the faith that we share, the Christian faith, is that we believe in a God who chooses to make himself known to us. He makes himself known in the scriptures. He makes himself known in creation. He makes himself known in the person of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And so the who of whose we are is God, and he is a loving relational father to his core, as we talked about. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, "See, look how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are." And the psalmist encourages us to praise God, and we worship and we thank him first and foremost because he's worthy of it, because he's a holy God, but secondly, because he calls us his children. And the psalmist tells us it's good to give thanks to God because it reminds us of who we are in the light of who he is. And to understand that, we need to start with the idea of worship. As humans, we are made to worship. We will all worship something. This is just a part of the way we're wired. Some people may worship fashion, not me. Some people may worship personal wealth. Others might worship cars or hobbies, or still others worship sports teams. And we make for ourselves all the time small g gods. And the underlying truth underneath all of that is that we will find our identity in what we worship. Who and what we worship becomes who we are. That's the way we're wired. And one of the biggest challenges that we're facing as a culture right now is that we have a culture that is trying to provide an identity for us. In the things that we own, in how good we are at our jobs, at our hobbies, or how much financial wealth we have accrued. And because one of our culture's prime motivations is to feed itself, it thrives on exclusivity. That's why companies all the time market and offer exclusive rewards or products. And in the quest to make more money and to feed itself, the culture just leaves us feeling like we don't fit, and we're scared that if we don't buy the right thing, or we do the right thing, or we act the right way, we just won't belong. And because of that, and because of our wounded place, we lean on three really unhealthy avenues to create and manufacture an identity and a place of belonging. Some of us seek belonging through our identity and worth by earning it through performance or self-sufficiency. I feel like I belong if I perform well enough. I'm going a little bit quickly just to be mindful of time, but I was watching a reel, and there was a Christian social media company that was interviewing baseball players because it was just the All-Star weekend. And they interviewed a couple of guys that are Christians. And one of the things they talked about is the idea that their faith in Christ has given them an identity to stand on. They're, you know, pick your person, and they're a baseball player. Because what we're finding in professional sports is that so many people dig into the identity of being a professional athlete, a football player, baseball player, hockey player, whatever, that when injury comes or you age out or what all that happens, that they don't have an identity anymore and life becomes almost unbearable. I feel like I belong if I perform well enough. Or sometimes we might seek belonging through security and control. We may manipulate or persuade the people around us to like us, or we try to control them consciously or subconsciously or unconsciously. I feel like I belong if I can manage people and circumstances. Or, and this one's very common, we seek belonging through power and significance, where we appeal to the crowds and we try and be and say the right things to fit in. I feel like I belong if enough people notice, admire, or approve of me. And every person in this room and joining us online this morning has, is, or will feel these feelings, these desires. We all feel this pull to find our belonging in unhealthy avenues. And when we don't know who we are and we don't know whose we are, we try to find or manufacture it through performance, control, or power. And that's why the psalmist reminds us to keep our eyes on God. Because when we worship him, we remind ourselves of who we are in the light of who he is, because he is the only one that can determine our identity. And you can read in Revelation chapter 2, 17. He is the only one of ultimate security and control. That's Psalm 91 and John 10. And he is the ultimate power and significance, Jeremiah 32. And you know what? That's whose you are. God says to each of us this morning, you are my son, you are my daughter, you are not too far gone, you belong to me. I am the only one who loves you with a love that no rejection can undo. I am the only one who can give you your true identity, the place where you most truly belong. And it's not to say that we can do whatever we want and there's no boundaries. God is still a holy God. There's still a standard. There's still expectations. But he holds the standard and he corrects from a place of love. My goal as a parent is not to let my kids do whatever they want, because by now they would have burned the house down. My job as a parent is to reflect the love of God for them and for them to know that first that I love them deeply, and when I offer correction, it's coming from a place of love, not of anger or punishment. But the point in all of what I'm trying to say here is that when you don't feel like you fit in, start here. Know whose you are. Your identity is not determined by performance, by control, by power, popularity, or even rejection. You belong to God. You fit in purely and only because Jesus says that you fit. Full stop. And if you know whose you are, then this brings us to our second no, because then you'll know where you belong. And a place where you feel like you fit and you belong is a really wonderful place to be. As we've established, that's a very human and normal desire. The late pastor and author, Timothy Keller, he says, to be loved and not known is comforting, but it's superficial. To be known and not loved, that is our greatest fear. And each of us, if we're deeply honest for ourselves, wants a place to come home to where we are known and we are loved. It's a place where we can come and we can set our burdens down and rest and be restored. We want a place where we can find shelter from life's storms, as Pastor Curtis talked about last week, because life certainly has its storms. And we want a place where we can grow, where we can become, and we can feel known and fully loved. The writer of Psalm 92 picks this idea up when he uses the image of a garden. In verse 12, it says, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's house, to home. And the good news is that when we choose to make that decision to follow Jesus and we place our identity in him, we know whose we are and we know where we belong. And that's in the Lord's house, the family of God, fully known and fully loved. Paul, in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he tells us about this truth in chapter 1. He says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. And if you've got your Bible this morning or you got someone else's Bible, underline that. It gave him great pleasure. And there's such a beautiful invitation to each person, not only to know whose you are, but to know that you belong in the family. And the image, I love it, that the writer uses to illustrate the point is that we are transplanted into the Lord's house. The word there, the readers of the day would have understood house as the temple. And when they heard temple, they would understand that this is the very place where God's presence dwelt. It is a place of safety. It is a place of security, of his presence and his protection. By being adopted through grace into the family of God, we are given a place in his presence to grow, to put down roots, to flourish, and then to thrive. But there's something else that happens, because the psalmist gives us another image, and he sort of plays this idea off each other. Verse 7 says, the wicked are like weeds, and other translations say the wicked are like grass. And he says in verse 12, the godly are like trees. And the psalmist is getting at a root question, if you will. And I gotta say, I have a complicated relationship with grass. Because on the one hand, I find it really fickle. To get that like perfectly golf grass green thing, it feels like it requires much more effort than it's worth, especially when you have dogs. But on the other hand, when you're driving down the road and you see your neighbor's lawn and it looks like, you know, it's a putting green, you're just like, okay, God does have favorites. But the thing about grass is that it doesn't have deep roots. It's easily damaged and destroyed. You can lift the grass with a shovel. Or, you know, like we just had the World Cup. Pretty amazing. Canada got to the round of 16. That's some pretty historic stuff. As I was doom scrolling on the Instagram, I came across a reel about the groundskeepers at some of the pitches, and it was interesting. As soon as the players left the pitch, the grass pitch, they were right on maintaining the grass on the field because it is, in my opinion, very fickle. Or our grass in our backyard dies just because the dogs pee on it. But trees, say I said pee in church. But trees, on the other hand, have deep roots. If you think of a palm trees are deeply rooted, and their flexibility allows them to remain rooted and to bend with the winds of a hurricane without breaking. So not only are we invited or given a place to belong, we are given a place to put down deep roots. There's an invitation to each person this morning in the room and online to dig deep into the love that God has for us, into our identity in Him, and to let Him do that deep work in us and plant deep roots of faith in us. So let me ask you this question this morning. How are your roots? Are you more like a grass, or are you more like a tree? And you don't have to answer the question, and it's okay, quite honestly, if you feel like grass sometimes. The good news is that Jesus invites you to be planted into His family. You do not have to make yourself strong first. By grace, God plants you, He transplants you, He cares for you, and then He grows roots in you. It's an invitation to be transplanted into the garden and the family. You just got to say yes. And I think the writer of the Psalms uses the idea of transplanting because in transplanting, the plant has to be deliberately moved. And then once it's put in, it has to be cared for. It has to be given a particular place to grow that's for it and it alone. And for you and for me this morning, it's in being transplanted into the garden, into the courtyard, into God's family, and adopted that you can grow deep roots and you can grow in the goodness of God and you can grow deeply in your faith. You can be fully known and fully loved. But there is another deeper, get it? Deeper? Deeper dimension to the image of a transplanted tree that's sitting in the text. Because sometimes belonging in the family comes before fruit and flourishing. On average, as I understand, not being an excellent gardener, is that fruit trees can take several years, even up to a decade, before they show fruit. And why is that? Because before they can bear fruit, they need to have deep roots. And so sometimes you may not see much fruit in yourself or even in another person, but if you are planted in Christ and you're rooted in His family, then it's okay to recognize and make space for the possibility and the reality that God may be doing a deeper work and growing roots in you before there is ever fruit. You don't get planted in God's garden and in His family because you're the perfect person or because you're producing or because you're performing well, or whatever. You get planted in God's family by accepting his offer of grace. That's it. That's the invitation, full stop. Fruitfulness, being fruitful, bearing fruit, is not a condition for belonging. You don't belong because you bear fruit. That's falling into the false temptations that we talked about earlier. Fruitfulness is a result. It's a result of being rooted in Christ. The church is a family where everyone is invited to put down roots. And so you're not planted into God's family because you're already godly or fruitful. You're planted by grace, and God begins to grow godliness and fruit in you if you let him. And as a church, as a body of believers, and I mean small c church, I'm talking the global church, we don't always get this idea right. Because if Jesus says that everyone is welcome in his family, then the church, which is the family of God, must become the kind of community where everyone can experience that welcome. We should be a people who notice a newcomer, who make room at the table, who cross social boundaries to connect with people, offer them a place, and help them grow. Because everyone fits in the family of God. You don't fit because you're fruitful. You fit because you belong to God and you belong in his family. So, when you don't feel like you fit, you can know whose you are. And when you know whose you are, you can know where you belong. And when you know where you belong, you can know why you're here. And that's our third point. And this is probably one of life's biggest questions. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Do I have purpose, or am I just a bag of bones that when I die, that's just kind of it? And depending on who you talk to, you'll get a different answer. Some philosophers might say that we're here for our own pleasure. We're here just to feel good, so do whatever. Some biologists might say that we are here because life evolved and it's a happy accident or a coincidence. Others, perhaps on the less hopeful side of life, may say that you're just here and there's no real meaning or no real purpose, so do your best to enjoy it or not. But the psalmist reminds us that we do indeed have purpose and we can know why we're here. And we pick that up in verse 13. They, the godly, flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. So, because Pastor Curtis made a dig at me earlier, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're vital. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're green. Vital and green. We have purpose, and our purpose is to bear fruit. We are supposed to be fruit trees. And this image of a fruit tree, it carries throughout the entire Bible. You can read about it in John's Gospel, chapter 15. I chose you. This is Jesus to his believers, to us. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Your purpose is to be fruitful for the kingdom, to love, to serve, to care, to minister, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We are called to be on mission. And what's really neat about that is that he doesn't make us all the same. He doesn't just carbon copy us. Now, generally speaking, we all have one mission. And that is, we talked about earlier, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But in that mission, he gives each of us a part to play. And the truth is that each person in the room and online has been given a unique gifting and unique talents and a purpose that only you can do, only you can carry. Not every tree planted in God's garden looks the same. That would be boring. But every tree or plant that is planted in God's garden has a purpose and a part to play. It's just like at the grocery store. Fruits come in all shapes and sizes. Each person has a divine purpose and a reason for existence that is only for them. There are things that only you can do for the kingdom. And that's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He uses the images of a body. It has hands, it has feet, it has eyes, it has a nose, it has hair, it has a mouth, it talks a lot. They all have a purpose, one mission. And the beauty of all of this, and the point I'm trying to make here, is that when you are rooted and you're transplanted and you're growing in God's garden, you are free to grow and to grow and to grow into the purpose that He has for you. It's not about a platform. It's not about perfection. It can be prayer, hospitality, serving, generosity, encouragement, disciple-making, faithfulness, and making room for others. Even today after church in the foyer, it's Find Your Fit, and we have opportunities to learn about where you can use your giftings if you aren't already. But the point is that every person, every one of us in the room and online, every person has a part to play. You have gifts and abilities that have been given to you alone. And there is even better news. Because even as you get older, you still will produce fruit. The psalmist says, even in old age, they will produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. There is no limit on age, on gender. Everyone has a part to play. Joel, one of God's ancient spokespersons, he prophesies, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit on servants, men and women alike. You can't even get old in God's garden because you will still produce fruit. If you're breathing, you still have purpose. We were, a couple of years ago, Jess and I went camping. We'd like to camp. And we packed our trailer up and we drove south. And we had a beautiful trip. And one of the things that our boys wanted to do was go apple picking. Who's ever been apple picking before? It's okay. I used to love apple picking growing up. And so we found an orchard nearby where we were camping and we brought the boys. And it was a very interesting experience that I had. We walked in and we got I wanted a small basket, but they gave us the bushel basket. And the lady that was doing it, she then gave us a tutorial on how to pick apples. She's like, you need to go to it very gently. And instead of, don't just pluck it off like that, you kind of got to roll it up. And I'm like, okay, like I've picked a million apples, like just grip it and rip it, like move on. So there was a whole internal dialogue going on in there, and I got elbowed at one point, I think. I was very kind. But she explained to us that the trees are actually quite old in the orchard. And I was like, okay, I got to see this. So we actually went out. And so I had forgotten what she said, and so I grabbed the first apple, and I just ripped it off there, and I realized in that moment that the limbs were like almost ready to fall off. And so I changed my methodology, but it was incredible. The more I looked around, man, those were some old trees. But wow, did they produce some incredible fruit. And I was thinking about that this morning, this week as I was preparing, because I was like, man, when I get old and I feel like I got limbs that are ready to fall off, I still want to be producing the kind of fruit for the kingdom. I still want to be a tree that nourishes the young. And if that's you this morning and you're feeling like an old apple tree with limbs about to fall off, remind yourself, when you're planted in the garden, when you're planted in the kingdom, you can still bear fruit. If you're still breathing, you still have purpose. But there is a bit of a harder truth that's sitting beneath the surface this morning. We are not merely planted to take up space. We are called to fruitfulness. We are called to purpose, to mission, and to making room for others. And the thing about trees, man, we're really riding this tree analogy. The trees is that even in death, even in old age, they have a way of making room for new life, for new growth. When a limb falls off a tree, it becomes a natural sponge to soak up the water, and as it decays, it provides moist, nutrient-rich soil for young seedlings and saplings. And the roots of a tree, They help to break up compacted soil, and they leave channels for air and water and allowing space for future plants and trees to thrive. And even when a tree dies, its wood breaks down into soil and returns essential nutrients like nitrogen and phosphorus to the earth. Even in death, a tree makes a place for the young to grow from. And so the good news this morning is that whether you are young or you are old, you have a purpose. And each person is vital. And your flourishing doesn't begin when you discover the perfect role. It begins when you're planted in God's house. Now, I know that's a lot to process, and I've gone along quite quickly this morning, but I just want to slow it down for just a minute, just a second, and I just want to ask the Spirit to speak into our hearts. And I want you to hold these three ideas, that these three no's that we've talked about, knowing whose we are, knowing where we belong, and knowing why we're here. Which one resonates most for you? Maybe there's some in the room who are kind of on the side of not knowing whose they are. They're trying to live in the love and the acceptance of a father and learning to be a son or a daughter. Or maybe you're grappling with what it means to be belonging in the family, in the body, and in the church. Or maybe you're doing well at that, but you're trying to live out the purpose that God has given you, or you're seeking that out. Where are you in that? And let me push it a little bit deeper. Is there one of these areas that the Holy Spirit is maybe speaking to your heart about and inviting you deeper into? And if it's not knowing whose you are, you can ask yourself this week, you can ask the Holy Spirit, who do I belong to? Ask God to remind you to belong, that you belong to Him, that you are His beloved, and to remind you, as Ephesians 1 said, that He decided in advance to adopt you into His own family by bringing you to Himself through Jesus Christ. And He wanted to do that, and it gave Him great pleasure. And then maybe you can take that next step and say yes to Jesus' offer of love and forgiveness. Or maybe this morning you're just not sure where you belong. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you and ask yourself this question: what are my roots like? Am I a grass or am I a tree? Am I planted in God's garden, in His courtyard? And then take a next step. Get connected. Join a life group. Get involved. Get baptized if you haven't already. We're going to have an amazing celebration in a few weeks. Say hi to someone you've seen before at church but haven't had the courage to say hello to. And if you're grappling with not knowing why you're here, ask yourself a hard question and let the Spirit speak. Am I, or am I on my way to producing fruit? And not from a performance, but a serious consideration of yourself. And if not, that's okay. But ask yourself, am I on the way to producing good fruit? And then take that next step. Maybe it's volunteering, investing your time or your resources. But remember this, and would you stand with me as we get ready to close? Your fruit is the evidence of your roots. It is not the price of admission. Can I pray for you? So Lord, we praise You and we thank You. We give You all the honor and all the glory this morning, and we thank You that You have adopted us into Your family. And God, I pray for the hearts and the lives that just don't feel like they fit in. Father, that You would minister through Your Spirit to them, that they would know whose they are, they would know where they belong, and they would know why they're here. And Lord, until we gather again, keep us safe. Be glorified, be blessed, be honored. We ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless you, church. Have an amazing rest of your Sunday.